Morning, everyone. Just a couple of thoughts this morning on joy. And it's interesting when you go to share something like this and there's a general theme for the morning. Most people have said most of what you were going to say. Well, that's kind of nice. So you might hear some repetition, but it's good. I think I was struck with a couple of things in studying this. One was how relational joy is and how it affects our relationships, our relationship with Christ, God, and how that is given to us, how joy is given to us, and then how that affects our relationship with others. And I think there's some confusion in the world about happiness and joy. And there's also, in the Christian world, and Christian writers and theologians, there's some discussion about this. Some feel like happiness and joy are not the same thing. Others feel like, and to me this is a little bit immaterial, but I thought I would throw this out there at the beginning. The more I read, and there was at least one author that I read that he feels like happiness and joy are very similar, but that happiness has been corrupted by sin. He said, and this was something that I believe it was Randy Alcorn that I was reading. He said, sin is still wrong. Happiness is not wrong. He said, it's been corrupted. He said, we're allowed to be happy and to pursue happiness. That's right, but he said when it becomes selfish and when it becomes something that we have bad motives for, that's when sin is still the problem. It's not happiness. Anyway, I thought that was interesting because we do hear there are times when that people make that distinction. I don't know that it's wrong to make it, but I just thought it was interesting, and I think we should bear that in mind today. As we hear about joy, it's not wrong to be happy, and sometimes I think maybe we're a little bit scared of it. It's all right. We can experience God's love and enjoy the happiness that comes with that, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. All right, Jonas already read the definition, so thank you, Jonas. The feeling of pleasure or happiness. And I wanted to make that distinction because happiness is very often connected with the word joy. Other words related to joy: satisfaction, comfort, humor, glee, delight, elation, cheer, charm, bliss, pride, amusement, wonder, indulgence. Know about that one. Maybe at Thanksgiving. Alleviation, rapture, one of my personal favorites, jubilance, gladness, and gaiety, which is not a word we use a lot. I guess the title I would put to this is James, he asked me, what would be an introduction? I said, well, it's a little bit hard for me to phrase it, but your gift. What gift are we missing? God is giving us a gift this Christmas. And I don't want us to miss that. I think sometimes there are different elements of things that we can get distracted by. If you think about this whole time of Christmas or this season of Advent, this is a time that Christians around the world have chosen to celebrate this event, even though it's probably not accurate to the time of the year. But if you think about the fact of the crazy change that was coming down and taking over the whole Jewish world, there was a lot of confusion. There was some violence. There was a lot of darkness, maybe uncertainty, and there were elements of the Jewish community that embraced the Romans. There were other elements that hated them and started through violence and other means, were very confrontational and started to resist the Romans. And so this caused a lot of confusion. And then you have this whole thing of taxes. That never makes anybody real happy. And so here, this is where this sort of the Christmas story starts to open up a little bit. And all the people are getting counted. And, you know, you feel like Big Brother is coming down on you and you're going to have to pay some money. And the way the Romans did that, they were keeping track of everybody. Interesting side note here. It's not like I hadn't thought about this before or read about this, but even though the Roman Empire was a pretty wicked and in some ways pretty violent type of government, very oppressive, that was the way that Jesus used in a lot of ways to spread the gospel. It was a big political and economic structure, and it made it really easy. A lot more, it made the Apostle Paul, gave him traveling accessibility and stuff that he could get around. And it really, really created a network for the gospel to get out. So even though it wasn't it didn't look like a fun place, God used that. So just remember that, maybe even in our times, God can use things like this to make his will and plan keep moving on. So into this whole environment, this Christmas story starts to unfold. And I think it's amazing. You know, we have these different themes on the Sundays, that this joy is one of the big ones that gets put out there. This gift of joy. And I guess in whether it's busyness or stress or depression, I know a lot of people struggle with depression over the holidays. I don't want us to forget this. This, even though maybe we're not experiencing that emotional elation, there's still something to be said for having God working his happiness. It's not wrong to pursue after it and hang in there during the darker times. Like Anna, like Simeon, they hung in there through this, and God revealed himself to them, and they experienced that joy. So this year, I don't want you to forget the joy that God is wanting to give you. And I do believe it is a gift, but it also is something that needs to be cultivated, because the scripture calls it a fruit of the Spirit. So your gift this year, let's think of it as a fruit basket. Is that your gift, a fruit basket? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and you know, and a lot of them, they work together so well, and a lot of them, you can't experience one without experiencing at least elements of the other. So as you experience your gift, your fruit basket, a lot of it is choice. If you look at this gift that was given to us over through this whole Advent event, you can see in Luke, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" So the gift is for everyone. And then suddenly... and then he goes on, and it goes on to say, For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there's with the angel angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I mean, I don't know how you could find a more joyful scripture than that. So let that resonate with us as we move through this time. And then later on it says, there's more, I'm not for the sake of time. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard and told them. So that's, I think that's one of the things that indicates joy, is the glorifying the glory of God. I mean, to me, that's the emotion and the experience that I have when I think of that. I did want to read really quickly parts of Galatians 5, because I think that it's really easy for us to, I think some of the reason we're scared of happiness and joy and some of those things is that we think, well, maybe it's just emotion. Or a lot of times our emotions get mixed with selfish motivation, and we corrupt it with our own desires and whatever. But we shouldn't be scared of it, because that's why it says in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is our comforter and our guide. So He will guide us through that. He will say and tell us, this is selfishness. You know, this is not the happiness you're seeking. This is not the real joy. And we don't have to be, I think sometimes, and maybe this is just me, but sometimes I'm like, now don't get carried away here. But no, we can experience a fullness and a completeness to this joy, and we'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to read this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. This is where the corruption can come in. Our flesh just wants to corrupt these good gifts. And they're contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, which we heard about in our Sunday school. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hate. And it has a whole list of wicked and evil things. I'm not going to read that. And then it just jumps, then it says, but as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another to love and good works. And this ties in with more that I want to jump into here. And I think that has a lot to do with our relationship with Christ. And as this gift that was Jesus over Christmas, and the joy that He brings, and now we walk in this joy. In John, which James, like I said, some of this is a little bit repetitive, but in John it says, John 15, which James referenced this morning, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, and this is following the vine scriptures that James had referenced in his reading. This is my commandment. And so he talks about all this joy, abiding in love. And then he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for its friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I commanded you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all these things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you, that you should go bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you these things. He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And I just think that ties so well together there, especially with what James had read earlier. And so he talks about his joy remaining and that our joy may be full, complete. And I think sometimes we don't have the fullness of joy that it talks about in Scripture. I think once we draw close to Christ, there's a real closeness in the Scripture in Psalms. It says, talks about the fullness of joy. But I think we miss it when we forget to share our joy with others, because that's what a gift is. It's not just something you receive. We all know this, but let's remind ourselves, it's something we give too. As you receive the gifts from the Holy Spirit this Christmas, you know, this whole thing was set up because of the Jesus coming. As you receive these things and the work of the cross, purifies you to be able to sort through and reach out to others. Sort through, you know, maybe you do have wrong motives sometimes, or maybe it's not quite right, but I don't think we need to be worried about that. Just go for it. John Piper says, Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul, produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. And Randy Alcorn says, a gospel not characterized by overwhelming gladness isn't the gospel. And there's one more quote that I'd like to close with. It's a little bit wordy, but it really puts everything, I feel like it's a very deep way to encapsulate what I'm trying to say. So, let's just go over everything again. We receive our joy from Christ and the gift he is, and we give it to others this Christmas. That's the gift of joy. One reason the Bible is so relentless in insisting on our joy is because of the goodness of God. The imperative to joy in us is based on the indicative of good in him. You shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given you, Deuteronomy 26:11. Joy in the heart of the creature corresponds to the goodness in the heart of the Creator. Joy is the fitting response in the receiver to the goodness of the giver. I'm going to read it one more time. One reason the Bible is so relentless in insisting on our joy is because of the goodness of God. The imperative to joy in us is based on the indicative of good in him. You shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given you. Deuteronomy. Joy in the heart of the creature corresponds to the goodness in the heart of their Creator. Joy is the fitting response in the receiver to the goodness of the giver. God bless you guys. I hope you experience joy in your relationship with Christ, and also as you relate to friends and family around you.